Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy to see you. You got through the weekend. It's another dismal week in politics. It's getting more interesting as the days go by.
They had a NRA conference, I guess, in Texas, and Trump spoke at it, and he was on the money. He was just rolling. And I guess he had a couple of speeches over the weekend. One, I think, was in Minnesota on Friday.
And how does he do it?
I don't know how he does it.
These rallies go for, I mean, you could pay to go to a rock concert or your favorite country concert, and a couple of hours, it's over with. I mean, Trump, and you see a couple of acts, two or three. Trump is the main guy, and he comes out, and he rocks you for 2 hours, at least.
He must get a, I don't know, he must charge him up to be in front of a crowd like that, and but I don't know. He's got to be tired. I know he went to his son's high school graduation. I think that was Friday. Was that Thursday? Mm-hmm. Thursday or Friday? Or was it Wednesday? Anyway.
I thought it was Friday, but it could have been earlier. Well, Wednesday's the day off. Maybe I don't know.
But he is like the ever-ready bunny. He just keeps going and going and going. Speaking of going, Bill, I don't know whether you heard about this. I wanted to mention this at the top before we jump into some of the big stuff. The president of Iran and an aide, I guess, Iranian regime confirms President Ebrahim Raisi and Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahi died in a helicopter crash.
Yeah, I saw that over the week. Yeah.
And there's speculation. I saw Laura Logan was wondering if they're cleaning house over there. You know, it's all of a sudden for two key members of the Iranian government to have a helicopter crash. You know, it just seems a little coincidental. I don't know. Maybe they were too much in favor of some kind of peaceful negotiation, or vice versa. Maybe they were hawks, you know, and they wanted to get them out of the way. Politics, it can be very dangerous sometimes for your health. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. That was just a relatively breaking story, and I wanted to mention at the top of our show. Other things going on, Bill, a story that completely went by the radar.
All right.
Last week. I did see the story, but it was such a buried story. Even I overlooked it initially, but then I looked at this story here from Todd Bensman. He's a reporter, writer, New York Post. He said a small newspaper, I think it's the Potomac Times in Virginia, they broke it. Well, let me play this. This is Todd Bensman talking on Real America's Voice about what exactly he discovered.
An illegal border crosser who is being described as Jordanian, who tried to force his way onto a U.S. Marine base. Todd, tell us what happened here.
Right. This tiny little newspaper, online newspaper in Northern Virginia 2 weeks ago, broke a story that Jordanian border crossers, one of them on the terrorism watch list, tried to breach a military base just 35 miles south of Washington, D.C., in a big giant box truck. They hit the gas. They tried to get through onto the base after they were ordered to stop. And then they were arrested and charged with trespassing. This is a little newspaper, the Potomac Local News, it's called. I called the reporter. I said, what's the deal with this? Border crossers look like they conducted a terror attack against a U.S. military base here. Has anybody given you any more detail? No. Has anybody else picked up on this story? No.
Yeah.
So I decided to write about it for the New York Post, and I quoted her and her story and gave her full credit and just said, hey, this is momentous. The first U.S. terror attack by a border crossing. We've been warning about this. 340 on the terror watch list that have been caught so far. Well, just to bring you up to date, you know, my column definitely put this on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Rattling around in the White House yesterday, where they refused to acknowledge anything. And finally, ICE came out and acknowledged that, yes, there were two Jordanians that were involved in this. They were turned over to ICE, which means, and they did cross the border. But beyond that, they won't rule out or in that it was a terror attack. They will not say the T word anywhere, because if this thing turns out to have been a terror attack by border crossing terror watch listed Jordanians, the Biden administration can kiss its electoral chances goodbye completely in the elections.
So, Todd, why isn't this making headlines everywhere?
Because of that. Regular media understands that a story like that, border crossing terrorist attack, military base, U.S. Marines military base, is a massive Trump propaganda win. Mm-hmm. That's how they see it. And would severely damage Biden in a very close race like this, where the border crisis features as its number one issue among potential voters in this country. It's, people are pissed off about this. And here we have what looks a lot like an attempted terror attack that was thwarted by border crossers. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger of a political story than that. So you got to shut it down and hope everybody forgets about it. I'm not going to forget about it. I know the Potomac local news reporter is not forgetting about it. They are all over this. And I know that Congress, there are Republicans in Congress that are moving on this thing. We're not forgetting about this.
Okay, my apologies. It was the Potomac local news, not the Potomac Times. It's interesting, Bill, that they talk about this as being the first. And if they did a little background, well, what did you find out? What did you find out? Okay, I can't hear you, Bill. Your mic is off, so it would be.
I was clearing my throat.
I was reading your lips very well, and I knew you were saying something.
Oh, well, good.
Insightful.
So It was a test. But California military base locked down after gate runner drives passed. You know, now the gate runner incident took place on Friday night at the entrance of the Naval Air Station North Island in San Diego Bay. It took place Friday night of March 18th, 2023. Now, is that maybe the other time something like that happened?
Well, no, wait a second. No. There's more. You have more? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, it seems that there's a history of this. 2022, somebody tried to breach the gate at a Naval Air Station in Florida. Then there was one in 2020, actually. Trump was still in office, not much longer, but... You know, the border thing by the left has been a thing.
Okay.
But in
we're not done. We're not done, Bill. They don't talk about this. A driver died after crashing into a security barrier near the White House. It says Saturday night. This is about 2 weeks ago at 10:30, prompting an investigation by the Washington Police Department. But they don't tell you much about it. They give you a whole story, but they really don't tell you a lot of details. And, you know, with this situation at Quantico, where the Jordanian tried to break in with a box van, they don't tell you what was in it. We don't know whether it was a box was it a box van filled with explosives? We don't know.
Well, in one of the cases here that I was talking about, because not all of them say it, but one of them said, yeah, it was in a truck with with bomb-making materials. What, he was going to go inside to crash the gate and make the bomb and then blow it up? Was the bomb already made, but they didn't want to? In other words, we are not being, not only, a lot of stories are
he
being
He was going to a
us.
Show and tell inside the
this
base.
This is how you make a bomb. You take this wire, like the kid on TikTok, you know, the kid with the gun playing with the gun and
material.
Shot himself.
Come
on, give me a break. They're lying to us.
Unbelievable. So we had Quantico. Even Todd Benzman didn't go much deeper than that Quantico situation. I mean, I applaud him for making it nationally recognized, you know, for bringing that incident to the forefront. But all he had to do is what we did, a Google search on, a front gate, Marine base, a box van or whatever the search was, and there it was, all these different stories over the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, now I've noticed that the stories, except for one here, CBS News, pretty much they're scrubbing all the U.S. stories. You know, mine went out of the country to go to the U.K. They're not friendly to us in their news, but they still have the reports.
Okay. Are we being told the truth about anything? And I know this sounds like conspiracy theories, folks, but let's look at the facts, just the facts. Over the last couple of months, we've had a ship ram a bridge and destroy it, completely destroy the bridge, kill six people. And they just said, well, it was an accident. But if you saw the video, like we did, it looked like the ship turned into the bridge. It looked like it was going to clear the bridge, and then at some point they turned into the support. We looked at it. We said it on the air, but experts said no, it was a navigational problem, and there was something wrong with the ship. And they gave us 1,000 different excuses that it was nothing to worry about. It was an actual accident. Okay, maybe it was, but then just about a week ago, there was another situation where a barge rammed into a bridge in Galveston, Texas, and destroyed part of that bridge. It didn't do the whole job. I'm sure it was they were trying to bring it down. Galveston is another key American port. Okay, it is not just this little rinky-dink channel that comes into the Gulf of Mexico. It is a key port. And they brought the bridge, tried to bring the bridge down. It didn't go all the way down. And we were told, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. Just move along. Okay. Now, let's talk about those are the two water situations. Let's look at what you just talked about. We had an attempted attack on a military base in 2020, 2022, 2023, and 2024. Not just one time, but at least four times that we know about, Bill.
Yeah, you got Jacksonville. Their base has been attacked several times, and the one out in California that we mentioned, what was it? I said the North Island in San Diego Bay, the Naval Air Station there. What's at those bases that they want to damage or eliminate? You know,
if they go in there with a box van filled with explosives and they park it next to an ammo dump, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
What should we do? I mean, let's just say they get away with it and they take out or critically damage a major U.S. air base. First off, we're going to sit there. We've got to go in and just, forensics on it and study it. And the news is going to ponder it. And everybody's going to do this. And all the politicians will be rattling sabers as to what to do and what not to do. Kind of like with 911, even though there might be evidence, we got to know for sure before we do anything. You know what? Maybe we need to come down with an iron fist.
Wait,
if
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want you to comment on this. What we don't know is what was in the box fan. What if it was a small nuclear device?
Could have been. And that's what I'm saying. Any attack on a base by a foreign element is an act of war, is it not? Especially if it's on U.S. soil?
Unbelievable. And they talk about it being silenced because it's political. It might hurt Biden's political chances.
Well, it's all about Biden. It's all about Biden. You know, he's a mumbling, stumbling fool. But, you know, Trump can go at a rally and do a dramatic pause and play a musical intersection. Oh, he froze. See, he does it too. Well, have you been to any of his rallies? I have. And he does the music.
Like 2 hours long. It's like
it's longer than a rock or country music festival, you know?
It is. Exactly.
He's a one-act show. It's just him. And I don't know where he gets the energy. So, you know, if he did do a pause, I get it. Because I can't go through a day without having a mind fart, you know, where I'll be talking and I'll go, I've done it on the show before, where I lose that thought for a second and I got to find the train and ring link to it.
Well,
and
Bill, you know, we are in a strange situation right now because our government is not telling us the truth about all these different incidences. And we're being told nothing to see here. Every time something happens, it was nothing. We got it. We stopped it. It was just a box van. It was thwarted. Oh, the guy tried to ram the White House. The guy tried to ram the White House, and he was killed. He must have been going fast. Either, they won't tell us this, either he rammed it so hard he was killed in the accident, or they shot him.
They shot him. They had to, because, look, I don't care what the guy's coming in to do, and I don't care if I was a Democrat or a Republican, somebody's charging that gate and it's a military gate. I'm taking him out, because he's going to take me out if I don't take him out. Guess what? You lose, pal.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. And I think any soldier that's on duty guarding that fort, that base, that whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
he's got to do his job. And but it does now, right? You know, you got to ask the question, why is it important? Is there something on the bases, or is it just the simple fact that they want to show that they can hit us and they're going to keep going after the gate until they pull off that job?
Well, they've attacked, tried to attack multiple bases. Like I said, four in 4 years that we know about. How many do we not know about? How many attempts were made that were thwarted and we just didn't hear about them? If it wasn't for that little newspaper in Virginia, we wouldn't have heard about this story.
Well, and the question that I'm going to ask, you know, like the one that happened towards the last year of the Trump presidency, was he even informed about it? Because obviously it wasn't on the news. And then, you know, I'll give Biden credit. Did Biden know about this? Should he have known about it? Should Trump have known? Hell yeah, they both should have known. I think Biden does know about it.
Yeah.
I think Biden's behind it, because I think Biden, he opened the borders for a reason. We are, you know, when you look at, if you step back and look at it, you take all the pieces of the puzzle and you put it together, there is something, people sit there and go, you know, there's something really nefarious going on. And it all points to, you know, we've got one government with two different marketing departments. In other words, friends, we've been lied to for a long time. Trump was the anomaly that came in, and they had to do everything to get him out of there, and now it's live or die time for both sides.
What a compliant media we have. A compliant media. There was a time when you would think that a journalist would be like Todd Benzman, who would see the story and jump on it. I mean, the entire Washington, D.C., journalistic community, silent, nothing. They don't say a word about it. It just disappears.
What's in it for them? You know, they like to compare Trump to a gangster. But, you know, a gangster will sit there and say, look, you know, you're going to be the fault guy. You're going to do some time, okay? You got to take the hit for this. You're going to do some time, but when you come out, we're going to take care of you. And they take care of them. You know, is that what the media is?
Well, it happens a lot, Bill. You see situations where all of a sudden these reporters for newspapers, they end up being on MSNBC as contributors, making probably 10 times what they were making as a reporter. All of a sudden they're intellectually important to a network. My God, can you believe that?
I can't wait for the day that Michael Cohen gets out and you see him on
CNN,
MSNBC, CNN or MSNBC, you know.
Yeah.
And now the news that might be the news, but probably isn't the news. Here's Mr. Cohen to tell us all about what did happen. You know, what?
It's amazing. I don't think these stories are just throwaway stories that we talked about. I think these are like incredibly important stories that we should have been informed and told about immediately. I mean, I did see it, but it was like a throwaway little article. It wasn't a big, important story. But all of a sudden, a New York Post reporter sees the story in a little newspaper in Virginia, and he jumps all over it. It's like, holy smokes, why wasn't this reported on? A box van with a Jordanian illegal migrant. By the way, how many Jordanian illegals are there in this country right now? And what the hell are they doing? Where are they? Where are they? And what are they doing? You know, well, I mean, we are sitting around like a bunch of stumbling, bumbling fools, while there's probably a battalion of strangers who are out to get us. You know, planning our demise. And while they're doing that, you and I are counting on our government to protect us. In the meantime, our government is counting on doing nothing.
You know, the funny thing is, if you look at the real numbers that are out there and you go by what you see and not what you hear, the voice of the right is damn near double the size of the voice of the left. But the left, they hold all the keys and they make the most noise. And yeah, when they're losing, they raise the volume. I think it's time now to quit being so nice and sitting there and talk back and raise the volume on our side.
You know, Bill, that's a good point. It's like there's much more of us with a lot to say, but the other side has the microphone and the amplifier, the loudspeaker. So they've been loud, they've been noisy, and they've gotten the attention. You know, the squeaky oil gets the oil, you know.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil.
We're not squeaky enough on the right. We've got to be a louder voice.
Yeah, instead of squeak, we grind. We better grind, because otherwise everything's going to grind to a halt. And I'm sorry, but if you're a leftist, you need to step back and at least take a look at things, because what you think you're going for is not at all what you're going to get. I mean, there's case in point after case in point after case in point. You are headed to hell, and you don't even have a handbasket to get there in.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but that's just it.
I'm still thinking about all these things that have happened in our country over the last couple of years that you and I have talked about on this show, but mm-hmm. the stories have disappeared. I mean, I think back to East Palestine, Ohio. That sounds like, by now, that story feels like it's something that is in history books. It's almost like we're talking about the Battle of Gettysburg, and yet that mm-hmm. was, what, a year ago? East Palestine, Ohio? I mean, that was a major story. And by the way, the people in that tiny little town of East Palestine, Ohio, are still, to this day, suffering. You're saying, what do you mean suffering? It's been a year. Well, they're drinking bottled water, many of them. They can't sell their properties. Their home values have tanked. Would you buy a house in East Palestine, Ohio? Come on. Let's say if you had a $500,000 piece of property in East Palestine 2 years ago, what do you think it's worth today? That's a lot to get rid of. You'd have to put a lot of bonuses and perks in that property to sell it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's amazing. And those people, by the way, the long-term effects from that smoke and that poison, we don't know. I mean, little children may be affected from that garbage. Yet they have squelched the story. There have been no going back to East Palestine stories. It's been like, just don't say a word about it. It'll go away. Then there's Hawaii. There's Maui. God, did that ever even happen? Did Maui really and truly happen? Did an entire city vaporize, essentially, disappear? Did that happen? Because nobody talks about it. It's as quiet as a mouse. There are still supposedly thousands of people missing.
There are people missing. There's a land grab going on there. You could have a deed for a piece of property and wake up to find one day, you have a deed for that property? That's too bad. You got that piece of paper. It's worthless because we just sold that property to some conglomerate. It's happening all the time there.
Why are they buying up property from a devastated area like Maui?
Well, devastated and even undevastated. No, they're buying up everything. There's something else going on. It's bigger. And, you know, I really think that everything that's going on is all connected. But that's a course for a different show at some point in time, because...
But I guess what I'm trying to point out, Bill, is that's a major story that should have lasted more than like a week or 10 days.
Should have.
And it didn't. Okay? Let's talk about... The food processing plants, a bunch of them in our country destroyed over the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about mom and pop shops that sell groceries. I'm talking about massive, you know, food refining properties, places that process meats and things like that. And remember the chicken farm that It was devastated. Thousands of of chickens gone. Nobody talks about it.
Look, when you look at it, I was always told diversity was good. It was a good thing. But all of a sudden, you know, we've gotten into this era where, you know, the bigger fish is gobbling up the smaller fish, and that fish is getting gobbled up by a bigger fish, and things are going away. They're trying to hold together till the end of this election the food chain. But if you've noticed, meat has jumped. The cost of coffee has jumped. The numbers that came out last week are a trick set of numbers, and I'm not just making that up. If you go back and look and research it, you'll find out that they changed how they count the numbers to give you a semi-positive economic outlook, which the stock market was affected by. But you got to look who's in the stock market. Yeah, you might have stocks, but guess what? You're not the big player. It's one or two big. I think there's three investment companies. The biggie is, you know, Round Rock, which I've, you know, mentioned before. They've got, you know, they've got over $20 trillion in money to buy. They're going to own 40% plus of the real estate here in just a few years. Your dream of buying a home or owning a home, it's not going to happen. They're going to own everything. They own all, they're buying up all the manufacturing, all the grocery, everything. I mean, you're going to be under the thumb of one big money conglomerate. So yeah, if they control everything in the world, I guess we don't need a border, do we?
I was watching, I think it was Newsmax yesterday or the day before yesterday. And, a general who's one of the contributors was on talking about he believes that we really should be prepping now as a population. And I can't think of the general's name. I've seen him 1,000 times on Newsmax. Very smart guy. And a U.S. general. He's not like a Joe Schmo who lives in a trailer in the woods and believes in getting all your stuff together and living off the grid. This is a guy who has had a wonderful career in the military and is now telling his friends and people who will listen that maybe it's important you start getting some stuff together because he thinks we're going to be attacked. There is definitely going to be an attack on this country. It is not just we've allowed too many dangerous people into this country without knowing, with no supervision. You know, we talked about this on Friday's show. We talked about the real figure of the people who've gotten into this country since Biden's been in office. They use a figure like 8 million, 10 million.
About 30.
It's about 30 million. About 30 million people, because in that figure, they're including the gotaways. And they think the gotaways are a lot greater than the people who have been counted.
Well, you go back to the old Clinton math. You don't need everybody. You just need to have strong control of 20%. And 30 million is 10% of the population. Actually, it's better than that because the 30 million is basically adults. So they're voting people. And if you can control them, you either have won the election or you will have the appearance that you won the election.
A Chinese expert named Gordon Chang was on TV over the weekend. He's a brilliant guy who has done his homework with regard to China. He's considered the go-to expert. Fox uses him. Newsmax uses him. And he said, trust me, the Chinese have plans to take over this country. He said, and they're not going to just go after the central government. They're going to go after local governments. They're going to go after local communities. They're going to bring down your police, your fire, your municipal properties. It's going to be there that they're the strongest when they attack us. Think about that for a second. Their belief is that if they take out the underpinnings of our society, our local government, frighten the populace and control the populace, they will win.
Well, bear with me on this. Because one of the things when you attack a foreign soil, the first thing you want to do is take out the power of the spoken word. And believe it or not, you know, broadcast is one of them. Well, broadcast is a conglomeration now. It's owned by big business. It would not be hard to take down radio and television. They already control the narrative. What you don't have now in times of crisis, you've got the civil defense, you got the ham operators out there with their radios and their relay towers that are all private and personal. And you've got a global network of these guys, and not all of them are conservatives. You know, there's, but they're part of humanity that exists, and they'll do the right thing. Now, did you know this? Now, that's a safety net that we have with that. There was a breach on Thursday. They have a relay system. They have a computer network. And with that network is also the database that houses every licensed operator, their facility, where it is.
You mean ham operators, Bill? These are ham
operators. So the guys that have the 50 megahertz units, the guys that have the high frequency units that might be 100 watts or more that can sit there and wrap the globe, which, you know, those high frequencies, you do the skywave certain times of the year, especially the one coming up. Well, it wasn't their credit cards they went after. It was their addresses, their names. And, you know, you have an idea of what they got there. The only reason you'd want something like that is you want to know where these signals are so you can take it down so there's no hope. And the relay has been compromised. It's still down. Now, I'm not a hammer, but I'm saying if I even thought about it, I would not right now sit there and say, oh, I'll file for a license because then somebody wants your database.
They bring down the internet, and all of a sudden ham radio becomes incredibly important for communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're somebody who wants to do us harm, you want to bring that down too. So now they have a list of the homes and the operations that they should be concerned about. I'm talking about the bad guys.
Because, you know, those systems, you don't need a big antenna in the air. You're going to string a wire. It's got a tuner in it. And you can sit there and, you know, oh, there's got to be a certain length. Yeah, you're right about that. You can look up the formula. You can Google it. You can find that out right now, what you need, and the tuner will tune to it even if you're off.
You know,
so it's like
in this conversation with I think it was Gordon Chang, he talked about how it's important that we, as communities, he didn't use the word militia, because I think that has a scary connotation to a lot of, especially woke people, but he did kind of infer that it would be important for us as communities to be able to band together in a time of crisis and protect ourselves. Now, how do you do that without a gun? I mean, if you've got... I'm thinking about this for a second. If you have some Chinese terrorists or the like who are taking over your local government, do you wait for the police to protect you, or do you wait for the National Guard to come into town, or do you as a community take a lot of it into your own hands?
Russia, Germany, Armenia, the list goes on and on. All the populations that have sat there and given in to that, we've got to take away your gun rights for your safety. Shortly after that, you know, the Empire of Armenia went down because of they gave up their gun rights, and they were taken
Germany,
away from
Germany, World War II, Hitler took away guns.
But they say, you know, they say it is... it's Trump that's the Nazi. He's the authoritarian guy.
Where did he speak over the weekend, Bill? He spoke at the NRA convention, talking about protecting gun rights.
You really should have, and I'm not saying you need to have an AK or whatever it is,
AR-47 or
AR-15.
Yeah,
that's the one I was looking for. But you should have. For your family's protection, and it can be put away, but you need to know how to use it. Take a class while you still can, and you need to have the ammunition for it, and you need to have the weapon, because at some point in time, but you'll if our country goes under siege, you'll never have enough ammunition. But then again, if like-minded people like you also have ammunition, then you get back to the old Japan theory. You don't touch the United States. You keep your hands off the old Lone Ranger, because behind every blade of grass is a gun.
Yep.
And that was, and even in Britain, when they see what's going on, they go, the one thing America's got is they have the right to defend themselves. The people say that. That's the one thing they look to us as, is going, we wish we had that, because you are vulnerable. You don't trust you lefties. You don't trust us right MAGA hillbillies, do you?
Well, look at
trust your own people.
Would you want to be in New York City during a time of crisis? You can't. Most people can't have guns there. They've taken away gun rights. People have come to a point where they depend on the police, or even though they badmouth them, when push comes to shove, they call the police. You know, but if the police are taken out, then what do you do? What do you do to protect yourself if the police are compromised? I mean, seriously, you can't. If you don't have some way of protecting you and your family, you're screwed.
Yeah, you are. Do you remember in, it might have been a year ago, I was up in Massachusetts visiting, and I forget where the prison is, but there's a road that circles, and that prison was, they were closing the prison. I said, well, that's a big place. You know, they could do something with that property that's productive for people. But I said, they'll probably take it and give it to the illegal immigrants. Now, that's not the particular one.
I think it was Rockland County. I think I know what you're talking about.
But now, what is it? Is it Norfolk or Norwalk or something like
Norfolk.
That? The biggest prison.
Yeah.
It's the biggest prison in Massachusetts. What did they do?
They turned it over
They turned it into, they're redoing it, but they're bringing in the illegal immigrants there, and they're putting them in there. And then I see the story about Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey placed migrant children in hotels with pedophiles or registered sex offenders, and now she's giving them, you know, their own place. I mean, this is like a city within itself.
Bill, and the Boston Globe is a big leftist paper. A fan of Mara Healey, but yet they wrote, Governor Mara Healey's administration has placed hundreds of homeless families, many of them migrants with young children, in hotels with registered sex offenders, suggesting the state failed to properly vet the sites in its haste to shelter a surge of families arriving from the U.S. southern border, and that's from the Boston Globe. Again, a leftist paper.
She is a puppet. She is a puppet to the left, and she thinks that she's doing something good. I don't care about her sexual orientation, but she's made it important that you should care about it. And that's difference.
They wear their sexuality like a badge now. It's like a badge of honor. It's like being a Medal of Honor here. You know, it truly, for a lot of people in politics, they use it like a military badge of distinction.
I sent you some stories, and one of them was about BlackRock, and one of them was about their ambitions and the guy that is the CEO. And one of the things that he talks about in buying up everything is to sit there and to divide people, all right, and divide people by their sexuality, divide them by their races, and doing all this. And then he's going along and gobbling up everything because, you know, for him, probably the open border is a great thing, probably for him because he's a globalist. And so the United States, in order for him, BlackRock, to continue to aspire, it's going to have to take down our walls. It's going to have to sit there and take apart other countries. So you bring these people in to where, well, you know, that's all part of us, and now we'll suck up Canada, we'll suck up South America, we'll suck up the whole world. And I'm sitting there going,
Bill,
this is crazy.
You told me an interesting story this morning. I think you told it was you. Maybe I read it. I think it was you. No, you mentioned about they want us to have one home.
No, not one home. No.
Okay, go ahead.
You're talking about the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
You can Google this. I'll send you the story, though.
Yeah.
I have it.
Go ahead.
You can Google this. The World Economic Forum now wants to, well, let's just say the average household. Let's take you.
Right.
You've got your wife.
Right.
And most people like that, the wife has got to have a car because she's got to do things. The husband's got to have a car. He's got to get to work. Maybe they work at two separate places. Oh, you've got a daughter or a son of age, and they still live at home? Well, they need a car to get to work.
Of course, yeah.
World Economic Forum, one car per household, and they want that to go into effect as soon as possible. So, in other words, like, I live with my son. He has a car. We have two separate lives. We live in the same home, you know, yes, But I'm an adult. He's an adult. One of us would have to give up a car.
These are the guys, by the way, I should point this out as a little side note. These are the guys who every year fly into Davos, Switzerland on their private jets that suck up more fuel than you'll ever use in a lifetime, right? These are the guys who are telling us how they want us to live, but they don't want to live that way.
Well, I was just going to say the caveat to that whole story is in the next 10 years or so, if that's their timeline, they want to do away with ownership of vehicles altogether. So this going to electric thing, it's just a ruse anyway. They don't want you to have transportation. They want you to be locked down just like you were when you had the mask on. It's the same thing. Although, if you're a government official or one of the elite, well, you have to have transportation to travel. Now, we the peons don't.
I saw this picture. I think there was one similar in the bunch you sent me to, over the weekend, but I did see a separate picture that showed a group of charging stations, and they were being powered by a diesel engine off in the distance. Diesel engine.
It's I may have sent that to you.
The stupidity of these people. I mean, they think they're doing something really good for the environment, and they're not. They're saying now that a lot of these wind farms, the generating, the windmills, they have a generator inside, you know, from the thing spinning around and the blades going around and around. It creates electricity by, you know, a generator, essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't last longer than 3.5 years. These generators are really heavy, and they're very high up in the air. So in order to replace them, they've got to get in this massive crane that sucks a lot of diesel fuel. They've got to get trucks. They've got to get all these different heavy equipment pieces into that area to remove the generator from the tower, you know. So it screws the environment up more in that process than it would if they just had a regular, like, they didn't have those generators at all. They just use regular gas and electricity.
You've got to have, you know, for the engines, you've got to have the oil to lubricate them. We found more gas and oil. The earth reproduces it, and probably by design. It was for that particular reason. But, you know, these people, they're smarter than God. So they've changed things around in that. You know, but you think of everything from the top down to the bottom that probably needs fuel or electricity or oil or both to operate it. Well, a sewage treatment plant, you know, where they sit there and the thing stirs everything up before they take it and they dry it down to where it goes into the ground. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's not going to work anymore.
Why is that?
It would have no fuel, nothing to run it.
Oh, so what are they going to do with it?
I don't know. Shovel it a bucket, and you go out in the yard and bury it. Oh, the lawn will be green for a while.
Oh, my God. Hey, over the weekend, J.D. Vance was on CBS's Face the Nation.
Yeah?
Margaret Brennan was the host, and she is a leftist. They're all leftist, folks. I mean, show me a conservative, I mean, other than on Newsmax, maybe a couple on Fox. But other than those two networks, just those two, put them aside. Just point to a conservative host on one of the major networks. I don't think you'll find any. Anyway, J.D. Vance was on with Margaret Brennan on Sunday to discuss the success of the pro-America tariffs under President Trump. And, of course, Margaret Brennan was trying to counter his argument. Listen how it went.
I don't necessarily buy the premise there, Margaret. If you apply tariffs, really what it is you're saying that we're going to penalize you for using slave labor in China and importing that stuff in the United States. What you end up doing is you end up making more stuff in America, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, and in Michigan.
That did not happen the Trump administration, though.
Well, it actually did happen in the Trump administration, Margaret.
You did have
significant onshoring. You had significant increases in people investing in factory construction. But it takes time, Margaret. And that's one of the reasons why I think that we need a second term of President Trump is this stuff is not going to happen overnight. The American heartland wasn't destroyed in 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be rebuilt in 4 years. But you really need to double down on this policy of bringing good jobs back to the heartland and, more importantly, making stuff in America. We have to be self-reliant as a country.
He's on the short list for vice president, and he wouldn't be a bad choice. He's a smart guy, J.D. Vance, also a best-selling author of fiction, would you believe? But, you know, I love how Margaret Brennan, she's so quick to come in, and they sound authoritative. They say things like, well, that didn't happen under President Trump. And he just said, no, actually it did, Margaret, and he explained why. And it was like, see, she was challenged with facts, and she was kind of lost. Many times, these people at these networks, they just use the authority of the network and their delivery to sound like they know what they're talking about. On the contrary, Jim, that's not how it went. Let me tell you what really happened. And they nail you with this phony authority that they don't have. They don't have the knowledge. Shady Vance said, no, Margaret, you're wrong. And he explained why. And she's like, okay.
Well, then that's where people on the right, they know what they feel, they know what they know, but they need to get their facts together, because what's going to happen is Democrats are like little sleeper cells out there, and they really don't know what they know either. They think they know.
Oh.
They hear about a talking point, but they're given stuff to argue, to try to shut things down, and they're loud and boisterous. You've got to be able to shut them down. I mean, I had somebody that sat there and saw that I didn't post a link. I didn't do anything. Say, hey, the show's up. They read it, and they came back and started blasting me with all kinds of stuff about, you know, they were talking about the attacks on Mershon and everything. I said, you know, you're right. Mershon gets attempts on or attacks on his life every day, or threats. As a matter of fact, he's got them every day for years. You see, he's one of these guys that hears mental cases, and that's true. So he gets them every day from whack jobs.
Yeah.
It's nothing new, but you're taking the story and twisting it and, you know, saying something that's untrue. Shut him up.
You know, there was another senator over the weekend who was on Meet the Press, Marco Rubio, and he was talking mm-hmm. with another one of these authoritative anchors, Kirsten Welker, and they were discussing illegal immigration. And here's how that went.
Will you accept the election results of 2024 no matter what happens, Senator?
No matter what happens? No, if it's an unfair election, I think it's going to be contested by either side.
Senator, no matter who wins.
I think you're asking the wrong person. The Democrats are the ones that have opposed every Republican victory since 2000. Every single one. It's Hillary Clinton.
No Democrat has refused to concede. Hillary Clinton conceded. Senator, will you accept the election results?
Hillary Clinton said the election was stolen from her and that Trump was illegitimate. Kamala Harris agreed.
We have Democrats now. Senator, she conceded the election.
She said that Trump was illegitimate. She said that the election had been stolen. Kamala Harris agreed. By the way, there are Democrats serving in Congress today who in 2004 voted not to certify the Ohio electors because they said those machines had been tampered with. And you have Democrats now saying they won't certify 2024 because Trump is an insurrectionist and ineligible to hold office. So you need to ask them. I think you've had have you ever asked a Democrat this question on your show?
Senator?
I bet you've never asked a Democrat that question.
Senator.
God bless him. Holy smokes. You know, do you hear Kristen Welker? She's bound and determined to get her answer. She wants to get her answer from Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio won't give it. He won't fall for her trap. I mean, this is somebody, she says, will you accept the 2024 election no matter what? No matter what? What kind of stupidity is that? You know, they're trying to corner people from the opposition. She is somebody who, by the way, 20 years ago would not be working at the network. She wouldn't be there, but she does follow that narrative that they're looking for, and so she's there now.
They're going to keep asking the question until somebody goes yes, and then they got you on the line. Never agree to something you don't agree with. That's like being in a court of law.
Yep.
You know, if somebody goes, you know, well, one of the big tricks that they do is they'll sit there and say, look, all you got to do is just say you're guilty and we'll go easy on you. Things will be overlooked and everything. That's a lie.
Would they say to Joe Biden, Will you accept the 2024 election no matter what? I doubt it. I doubt it. Because no. They went, by the way, to this day, to this hour, Hillary Clinton thinks that her election was stolen.
She even says that.
Yep.
So, you know, so I mean,
you can talk about how the right has problems with 2020. You completely ignore Hillary Clinton's 2016 allegations. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, Biden is, you know, in everything. He's copying Trump and everything, but in his emails that he sends out, he's saying, you know, Trump never wanted to debate anybody. You didn't do any debates this year. The last time you were in a debate was with Trump. And he goes, of course, I beat him two times before. Oh. Let me ask you a question. I saw the debates back then. I didn't think Biden won. As a matter of fact, when I read the reviews, even the liberal reviews, they said, well, you know, Biden won on, you know, like on dignity and stuff like that, because Trump wouldn't let him get a word in edgewise. They said, but the one thing they did say, they said, Trump eloquently laid out what he has done during his presidency, and it was a good thing he said. Biden, on the other hand, listen carefully, this is from the left, he didn't say anything. He made no promises. And I'm here to tell you that Biden, who stole the election, delivered on his promise. He's done nothing. Well, wait, he's given you high gas prices, yeah, closed down our production. Mm-hmm. He's opened the borders. Yeah. Our food chain is in jeopardy. Everything.
He's endangered the lives of your family.
He didn't promise to do that either. He promised you nothing, and that's what you got.
So my question is, where do we go from here? Will these debates be a Biden victory if he stays awake during the debate?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're going to lower the bar. And Trump, the one thing that Trump will have to articulate what he did in the past, but the past is the past. He's got to articulate forward, and he will do that. He's got to be careful on his attacks, but he can't just sit there and, you know, let Biden and the cronies that are running things overpower everything. He's going to have to, well, Trump's just got to be Trump. And, you know, the left is going to say whether he's nice and polite or he does what Trump does, you know, they're going to say, well, he lost.
Okay.
You know, you're going to have to listen to the words.
I want to do something here. A lot of people don't understand what jump cuts are. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to count them in the background while we play this 13-second Biden debate announcement. I'll be in the background. When I hear a jump cut, I'll go like one, two. So listen carefully.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. The sense that he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick debates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
All right, six jump cuts. Six times they had to edit what he was saying, right? It was 13 seconds long, so every, like, 2-point-something seconds, they had to do an edit.
He can't say his first name without having to be edited into
Bill,
the
how are they going to do 2 hours of a debate?
Well, I think Trump is right. Yeah, Trump, because, you know, even though Biden was a little slurred, he was talking real fast during the State of the Union. He was talking, but he started losing it towards the end. He's going to be jacked up. You know, he's going to probably take a week off and get a lot of rest, and he is going to be so jacked up and drugged up.
Wait a second. Do you hear what Trump said? Trump said he wants a drug test.
Yeah. I got
to
wonder.
How do you say no to that, Bill? It's like he's in a corner with that one. If he says no, then he's essentially admitting he may be on drugs.
Well, then what he's got to do is Biden's going to have to come back and say, Trump, you get a drug test.
Oh, he's going to do it. Trump said he'll do it. He's no problem with it. Trump is a germaphobe. He's a health nut. He takes good care of himself. He does like junk food, but go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'm going to defend him on the junk food because really, if you go back to the early days, 2016, he's sitting at a table and he's talking to somebody. He's pushing away the junk food, the Cokes, and everything else. Now, yes, he's probably, as he's gotten older and it's easy, just grab this or that. And he put on a few pounds, but he took off a few pounds. Let me ask you, anybody that's over 50, are you as skinny as you were when you were 20? Are you having a problem keeping the weight off?
Yeah.
And if you go on a diet, does it hold? Because after maybe 6 months or a year, all of a sudden the weight comes back. Anybody that you ask, it's not going to come off. As you get older, your body changes. The chemistry of your body changes. I'm sorry, but that's just the basic facts of life. And when he buys, and when he goes in, like I saw a meme from this little liberal chick, and she's sitting there going, has little Ronald McDonald, and here's the big old blimp Donald Trump, you know, with the bags of burgers.
Those on him. He looks really good. He looks better now than he did a couple of years ago.
But, well, no, it was a fake picture that they stuck up there. But then, you know, they're saying, yeah, he eats McDonald's all the time. If I were McDonald's, I would be insulted, and I would sue whoever put out those memes. And then the other thing is, Trump doesn't buy that stuff for him. He goes in to McDonald's, you know, yeah, I want 100 Big Macs. I need 100 orders of fries. Is he eating all that? Hell no. He's bringing that in for everybody in the court, no matter what. He's feeding everybody.
Yeah, well,
what the hell is wrong with that?
Well, you know, it's amazing. We live in strange, strange times. We live in a time, for example, when we give deference and people follow the comments of people with the intelligence of an amoeba. Case in point, Joy Behar from The View, right? She made some comments about the Supreme Court recently. I don't know whether you heard about this, but I figured I would play it. Listen.
Well, yeah,
this lifetime assignments has got to stop.
Can I just
say, they need to fix the Electoral College also, because that's un-American.
They need a code of ethics.
It is. People need to understand what's going on. You will not have a country if Trump gets in.
I have to say.
I mean, this is someone who really doesn't put a lot of thought into what she's saying. She is just somebody who doesn't like the right and definitely doesn't like Donald Trump. And there's no real logic to her thought, her answers. It's just the way she is. And yet I see these clapping seals in the audience, you know, clapping.
Well, that's the applause sign. And the other thing she's doing is she's talking down. In other words, when somebody goes to interrupt or say something, she talks a little bit louder and talks a little bit faster. She keeps going and tells you she's going to blow up or you're going to shut up. That's her philosophy. It's crazy.
Well, it is interesting. She says she's decided that lifetime appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court and Electoral College, both of which are enshrined in the United States Constitution, she says they're un-American. She's doesn't know her history. It's really sad. You know, Bill, I swear they've dumbed down education in this country. Honest.
Well, they I think they're going by a philosophy that the government has to evolve and the people have to evolve with it, because they're trying to preach that in religion. You talked about the Pope over the weekend, you know, that the evolution of the church, you know, needs to be
this guy,
you know.
Bill, this guy drives me nuts. We could do another show to hear him talk. He is the leader of an incredibly large religion. What do they say, 700 million people around the world?
But a lot of people are leaving it.
And it's not that so much they're leaving it, but they've adjusted. They've decided, well, they're doing a little picking and choosing. Now,
well,
there are traditionalists, people who believe in the fundamentals of the religion, guys like Harrison Butker, who is a traditionalist. He's getting all kinds of grief by the damnedest people. People who've never watched a football game are giving their opinions on Harrison Butker, right?
Everybody's got an opinion.
Oh, it's like Derry.
He's got a butt, too, you know what?
But this is amazing. We are in strange times. You have to be very careful what you listen to and what you watch. We're glad you listened to us, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, we had amazing numbers over the weekend. I don't know where they came from.
But every once in a while, we get this weird spike. And,
unbelievable. We had tens of thousands of people around the world listening to our program over the weekend. And we weren't giving anything away. I mean, you know, there was no contest running or a giveaway, but they were everywhere. I mean, you had people.
They're from all over the world. You know, sometimes I sit there and go, is it worth it? Because we don't, you know, sometimes you look and you go, well, we don't have that many people in one focused area. But then all of a sudden you look at the conglomerate of everybody, the sum total of everything, all of a sudden our numbers start to rocket past everybody
else.
We don't market.
We have listeners in Central Africa. Mm-hmm. We have people in Russia and the Slovak, the mm-hmm. Eastern European countries. We have people in Norway, Finland, Denmark, Ireland, England, France, Germany, Spain, Italy. I mean, I could go on and on. And you wonder, how do these people find you? But they do. And by the way, these are people who listen over the weekend. Now, I'm not talking about people who found us over the last couple of months. Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, the people overseas tend to get the show and share it around. Now, we go on to streaming sites that stream that we don't really see all the numbers. We did see numbers for it, but and download sites. We look at downloads. We don't look at the streams. But when you take the downloads and the streams and you put it all together, we're in that top nth of a percent.
We have millions of listeners. Seriously. We have got...
So it seems.
More people than you can imagine who have found our program, and I guess they enjoy it enough to come back.
Well, you know, on my social media, and I don't really do anything. I throw my occasional little funny ha-ha out there. And like today, I'll go and clean up the old things where, you know, for the past couple of days where, hey, here's a show, here's a show, here's a show. I take that out of there so it doesn't really sit there. But there are people, and it just seems like, you know, the baton gets handed off. You know, somebody will sit there, might be a liberal friend, and it's like, you know, within minutes of the show going up, they attack, they go and they look and they see what the show is about on our page, and then they come and attack it on the social media. Mm. I'm like going, you know, it might matter more
if you listen to
the show.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't mean crap. And then after a while, they quit, and then somebody else picks up that baton, you know, and I'm sitting there going, I mean, they're persistent, they are consistent, but you know what? I can really give two, well, never mind. But I just don't really care.
There are 4,318,424 podcasts as of last Thursday, probably more today, and we were ranked at number 648 worldwide. 648 out of 4,318,000. That's pretty darn amazing, folks. Again, thank you very much. We truly appreciate it. By the way, continue to spread the word because we try desperately to talk the truth. Yeah. And get the truth out to you. You can have a difference of opinion, by the way, and listen to this program. If you're somebody on the left and you listen, but you don't believe everything we have to say, that's all right. But here's what we can promise you. We can promise you this. We try to be as honest as we know how to be, okay? We get on this program. We don't get on here with an agenda to sell MAGA or sell Donald Trump or sell a certain philosophy. We really don't. It so happens that we go along with right now what is being said on the right. We believe that the answer to the problems in this country are a strong border, a stronger economy. We believe that fossil fuels should be developed in this country, and manufacturing should be something that comes out of this country and not overseas to us. So, I mean, these are, and that's not everything we believe in, but those are a few things. And
the hit is on, though, on Trump. I mean, if you learned anything out of the past 2 weeks of the Stormy trial, because we're into the, third week now of it? We learned from Stormy that she lied, everything came apart, and there were people that sat there and said, yeah, this was all a setup. Cohen came in with everything, and then he turned around and said, yeah, he admitted that the tape that he had was actually a whole different conversation because of the text. He admitted that he had nothing on Trump, He's admitted that Stormy didn't have the affair. It was a setup. So we just found out the whole case was bogus. And with everything going on, they even tried to say that the story that came out of the guy talk for the Access America or whatever tape it was, you know, about the that was in 2000.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about. Right. Yeah.
They said that was Melania's idea.
The Billy Bush.
They said that was Melania's cover up there, as if she's part of Now, I will say this. Melania probably wears, you know, a better set of pants than Trump does. She seems like a woman that she's quiet. She's quiet and carries a big stick. And I think Trump does march to it. But she's not the... She's not the power behind the voice. That voice has been there. She just supports it.
Well,
but they're trying to tear apart the story and malign everything. And this week, they're going to try to sit there and reship the focus, because even all the liberal news sat there and said, this case has come apart.
Remember, 85% of Manhattan voters voted for Biden. They voted for the left. So you know that the jury pool is going to be tainted. You know that they're going to be partisan. But that being said, they have two lawyers on it, and they even said, I heard some lawyers and some contributors say over the weekend, look, even if they're big Biden supporters, if they've been sitting in that jury box listening to the case, it's going to be hard for them to vote for a guilty verdict, because there's just no evidence. It's just not there.
But they're going to try to turn it around, and they know there's no evidence. What they're going to try to do is convince you that all the evidence, they're going to, you know, perception's reality. So they're going to build up this big case of perception. And it's not reality, but if they can make you believe that, make the jury believe it and the American public, because even if the jury doesn't believe it, they convince the public and the left, the screaming left will sit there. They're going to have a problem. Trump gets acquitted on this thing and nothing happens, the screaming left will be, and cars will be flipped, buildings will be burned, because they didn't get what they wanted. You know,
And Biden will not protect us from anything. He'll just tell everybody to stand back.
Lose-lose situation. And Biden, you know, is still attacking, his attack on religion and what was it? He said Hamas was a humanitarian thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, don't count on him in a gunfight, because he's not going to stand with you. This guy, he will go with whatever is good for him politically. Hey, listen, we've just about done it, Bill. Another program. We've given you a lot to think about in today's program, a lot more to think about than I think that even we thought we'd talk about.
Okay, I want to complain about one thing.
What's that, Bill?
All right, I have this whole notepad of things here.
Right.
I didn't talk about one damn thing on it.
Well, then put it aside. We have tomorrow.
Well, there'll be a whole tablet full of stuff for tomorrow.
I know. Hey, Bill, see this pile of stuff that I have in my hand?
That was today.
Yeah, it was today. Yeah, I didn't get to that either.
Hell, we got to talk to the producer. I know.
It's amazing. He's not doing his job.
He really is not.
If you want to contact us, our website is www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. People seem to be preferring that site over the other site. It's easier to remember Jim and Bill, I guess.
You know what? I'm going to redirect that right into the because it plays the Podbean thing anyway. So
right.
Or we'll just redesign it, and I don't know. I'm so confused.
I know, it's so easy. Anyway,
dang it.
Thank you very much for making us a part of your day, because without you, we'd be talking to ourselves. And with that, I think you can end the show in your standard calm and, you know, erudite way.
I will be more than happy to. Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.